بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to you all. Welcome, أهلا وسهلا to you all with our journey with one of the great imams of our tradition, Imam Tahawi. May Allah be pleased with him. So here we are on loving the ashab, the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. ونحب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We love the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's important, of course. ولا نفرط في حب أحد منهم. But we are not extreme in our love for any one of them. Okay. ولا نتبرأ من أحد منهم, nor do we disassociate from any one of them. We're not bari from them. And ونبغض من يبغضهم, we hate or we despise or we loathe those who despise the companions. وبغير الخير لا وبغير الخير لا نذكرهم. And in other words, we only mention them with good, with their merits. We don't mention them in any negative way. And he says, وَحُبُّهُمْ دِينٌ وَإِيمَانٌ وَإِحْسَانٌ. And loving them is part of our faith, it's part of our religion, and it's part of our spiritual excellence. And وَبُغْضُهُمْ كُفْرٌ وَنِفَاقٌ وَتُغْيَانٌ. And to hate them or to despise them is kufr, it's nifaq, it's hypocrisy, and it's tughyan, a form of transgression or a form of extremism in your religion. The key message here, of course, is love for the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The obvious reason, of course, or the more important reason, as mentioned in our text, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them. They've been extolled in the Torah, the Injil, and of course the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in chapter 48, verse 29, Muhammadun, wama Muhammadun illa Rasul. That Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحُمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Then Allah continues later on in the verse where he talks about their likeness in the Torah and their likeness in the Injil. Because they spent, I guess this is a important point for us, a lot of time, their energy in spreading the truth, the religion of Islam, and elevating the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They loved the Prophet deeply. One of the signs, of course, of that is that they migrated from their homeland. They left everything of the material world that they had for the pleasure of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They gave sanctuary to the Prophet. They supported him and they fought for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, it's an obligation to love them because of their immense sacrifices for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, beware of Allah and be aware of Allah concerning my companions. Don't take them as a target for vilification after me. For whoever loves them, then it is out of his love for me that he loves them. And whoever hates them, then it is out of his hatred for me that he hates them. And whoever harms them, it is as though he has harmed me. And whoever harms me, it is as if he has harmed Allah. And whoever tries to harm Allah, then the place that's befitting for him is the nar, the fire. But we also caution, of course, not to become extreme in our love for any one of them in particular. Because sometimes extreme love for a human being can lead to, one of them is that it can lead to immoral behavior or behavior that's unbefitting of a believer who should present himself with decorum and respect, but also it can create animosity amongst people. So you should always be moderate and balanced in your love for others. And there are groups we know who were extreme in their love for certain companions, and as a result, they loathed or they detested other companions. For example, there was a group that loved Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he should be loved, but they loved him in extreme ways. They practiced extreme forms of love and ritual towards him. And so that led them to the obnoxious behavior of detesting Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. And we seek Allah's protection from such behavior. Some people went to such an extent, we find in the books, that they began to claim that he was a god. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was a god, or he was some sort of prophet. And you find these extreme ideas emerging as a consequence. Okay. So people will love, should love the companions, but it should be moderated. Okay. At the same time, your love should also be filtered through ensuring that you are connected to the companions, because to disassociate tabarru from them is a sign of being misguided. Because of course the companions were on the right path, they were on the right religion, and our religion is safe when we follow those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved deeply and they loved him back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, is reported to have said, "My companions are like the stars. Whoever of them you follow, you will be guided." Okay. And so to be disassociated from the companions is to be misguided, to lead yourself down the path of misguidance. And so we detest those who detest the companions, because this comes from a sense of antipathy, a neglect towards your faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them. Allah mentions in the Quran that I have chosen for you Islam as your religion, chapter 5, verse number 3. So this is proof of their vile belief and a consequence of their hypocrisy. So it's anyone who detests or shows negativity towards any of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means that we should display detest and hatred towards them, because they hate whom Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam love. We don't get into, for us as lay people and non-scholars, we don't dip our feet in the controversies that emerge among the companions. So we know that things happen early on, sadly. And we leave that to the ulama. Okay, so there were things that did happen, and we leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We rather speak of them in good ways. They were human beings, and human beings naturally can be misinformed, or they can make mistakes. But Sahaba, all of them were exemplary in their love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a hallmark of your religion, of obedience, faith, and excellence, that you love the companions. And on the other side, of course, detesting them is a sign of disbelief, hypocrisy, and transgression. Now we get into politics, if you like, which is always part of our religion, an interesting aspect of our religion. So we say 119 here on your list. وَنُثْبِتُ الْخِلَافَةَ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. We affirm the caliphate of Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, who was the first to assume the caliphate. أولاً لأبي بكر الصديق تفضيلاً له وتخديماً على جميع الأمة. This was his fazila, his virtue, and its precedence over the entire nation. Followed by Umar ibn al-Khattab, ثم لعثمان ثم لعلي بن طالب رضي الله تعالى عنهم وهم الخلفاء الراشدون. They are the rightly guided caliphs, وأئمة المهتدون, and they are the rightly guided leaders. So after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. There were the Shias, of course, who opposed the majority of the Muslims and claimed that the rightful leader after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Ali. But the proof of the mainstream Muslims is that the companions, both the Muhajireen and the Ansar, unanimously agreed on the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and their consensus of the companions is a proof for establishing leadership. And there's also a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, convey to Abu Bakr my order for him to lead the prayer. So leading the prayer, of course, is an important position. Being the imam is an important position. And in his lifetime, he appointed him. So this appointment of Abu Bakr to lead the prayer, which is the most significant pillar of Islam, shows or is an indication that he was to continue after his passing as his successor in leading the prayer, and a fortiori in all other matters as well. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was satisfied with you for your religious affairs. Should we not be satisfied with you for our worldly affairs? Furthermore, the appointment of Abu Bakr before anyone else, because he's the most virtuous person after the prophets, as attested by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, by Allah, the sun has never risen nor set over anyone after the prophets more virtuous than Abu Bakr. So the fact that his caliphate was established by ijma, and that he left instruction for the caliphate to be handed over to Umar after him, and the companions agreed on their pledging allegiance to him. And of course, the caliphate came after Abu Bakr to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alluded to this in his saying, follow these two after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. So we find this in our tradition. After the demise or the death, or rather the assassination of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there wasn't anyone appointed as a successor, but instead the matter was left to a form of shura or consultation between six companions, all of whom were assured Jannah, paradise. That was Uthman, Ali, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Talha, Zubair, Talha radiallahu ta'ala, Az-Zubair, and Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas. And then Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Auf, what he did was he pledged allegiance to Uthman with the rest of the Mashwara team, and everybody accepted him. So his caliphate, Uthman, was established by the consensus of the companions. Uthman, of course, died as a martyr, and because he didn't appoint anyone as a successor, the remainder of the shura agreed on the caliphate of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so then his caliphate became binding by their pledge of allegiance. So that's how it works in simple terms. Of course, this golden period of the caliphate effectively came to an end after Ali, as attested by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that after me, there will be for 30 years, caliphate will remain. It will, after that, become a monarchy or despotism. Become this unjust, and it will become defiled. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously knew this revelation, and it happened just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, and thus it transpired in their way, because Abu Bakr's caliphate lasted 2 years, short period. Umar was a great period of 10 years. Uthman was 12 years. Ali was 6 years. So that was 30 years in total. They were upright. They were rightly guided. They followed the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not deviate from his way. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. Hold fast unto them. That was the nasiha of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next topic is the 10 companions, if you like, who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. 10 companions who were given this glad tidings. So this is here. Wa innal ashrata. You can also read it as wa innal ashrata. So two ways. Wa innal ashrata alladhi sammahum Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَبَشَّرَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ. And we testify that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam before us, that the 10 whom he designated and assured of paradise are indeed in paradise. نشهد لهم بالجنة على ما شهد لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقوله الحق. And who are they? So we are given a list here. They are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Az-Zubayr, Sa'ad, Sa'id, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, who are classified as the Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, who is known as the Aminu Hadhihi al-Ummah, the trustee of this Ummah. This is plain and clear. There's nothing controversial. There's nothing that requires me to add to it. But there's an important point here, 121 on your list. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ الْقَوْلَ فِي أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَزْوَاجِهِ الطَّاهِرَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ دَنَسٍ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِ الْمُقَدَّسِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ رِجْسٍ فَقَدْ بَرِئَ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ. And whoever speaks well of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and their wives and their children is free or absolved of what's called kibr. Nifaq. Nifaq means to spend here, but in spend, but here it means hypocrisy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in chapter 9, verse 100, about the obligation to speak well of them. Because he praised the companions in many places. And as for the foremost, the first of the Muhajirin and Ansar, Allah also says in chapter 66, verse number 8, on the day when Allah will not abase the Prophet and those who believe with him. Also, we have chapter 48, verse 29, harsh against the disbelievers, compassionate amongst each other. You see how they prostrate and bow themselves in prayer, seeking grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his good pleasure. So it's obligatory to revere them, and whoever speaks well of them is, of course, saved or absolved of hypocrisy. We seek Allah's protection from that. Similar is the case with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are the mothers of the believers. They had the blessing of being among those who accompanied the seal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, his children, his pure children, his folk, from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all forms of abomination, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified his family. Loving them, the companions, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of them, these people who are from that beautiful golden generation, is a sign of faith. And disassociating from them is a sign of hypocrisy. And denigrating them will lead to only your own loss and a bad faith. And we seek Allah's protection from it. Next one, very, very important, especially nowadays when we live in an age where people aren't treated with the same level of respect and dignity that they ought to be. So this is about the early ulama. So Imam Tahawi says, وَعُلَمَا السَّلَفْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, the righteous scholars amongst the early people, early Muslims, the Salaf. So he's saying the ulama Salaf from the pious people, والتابعين, the first generation that came after the companions, the tabi'een, and all after them, from those who are with khair, with goodness, should be spoken, مِنَ الْأَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْأَثَرِ, who are of goodness or the tradition, وَأَهْلِ الْفِقْهِ وَالنَّذَرِ, who have deep understanding of fiqh and nazar. لَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا بِالْجَمِيلِ, we only mention them in the best way. وَمَنْ ذَكَرَهُمْ بِالسُّوءٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى غَيْرِ السَّبِيلِ, and whoever mentions them in an evil way, inappropriate way, then they are from those who follow a path other than ours. Very, very important. So this idea of speaking good about the ulama, because honoring our ulama is part of our religion. It's in the sense that when you honor those who carry the religion, who teach the religion, who spread the religion, you're honoring the deen itself, because they are means of the spreading of the religion, and whatever is the means goes back to its asal, which is the religion itself. So we follow them, we praise them, we don't engage in disparaging the pious scholars of the past. We might read something, we might come across something that might offend our modern sensibilities, or we might find it distasteful to our particular sectarian bias. We leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave that comment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's best not to say something, rather than to say something out of ignorance, and it becomes a weighty matter against you on the day of judgment. And again, whoever attacks the ulama of the past who are living amongst us today and disparages them, it is as though they are attacking the religion. Okay? And this is a sign of hypocrisy and discord. And we seek Allah's protection from being involved in these ill-fated discussions. The rank of sainthood. وَلَا نُفَضِّلُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَوْلِيَائِ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ الْأَنْبِيَائِ. We do not consider any saint to be superior above that of any prophet. وَنَقُولُ نَبِيٌّ وَاحِدٌ أَفْضَلُ مِّنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. We say that a single prophet is greater and superior to the than all awliya. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا جَاءَ مِّنْ كَرَامَاتِهِمْ. We believe in their miracles. And وَصَحَّ عَنِ الثِّقَاتِ مِنْ رِوَايَاتِهِمْ. What the reliable narrators have mentioned about these particular miracles that we have received about the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the first thing is, of course, a saint is never the same as a prophet, because a saint, of course, is a follower of a prophet. And so the one who is tabi, the one who follows, the one who is a leader, cannot be greater than the leader himself. Okay, so his degree is, at least rationally speaking, less than that of a prophet. The other one is this is what we call umum khusus, that every prophet is a saint, but not every saint is a prophet. So the prophet combines prophethood and sainthood, and therefore he is, by definition, superior. Sometimes you will find, sadly, certain deviant groups who will claim that a certain Sufi sheikh is superior to a prophet. That cannot be. Okay? That goes against our creedal understanding. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "The sun has not risen nor set over anyone after a prophet more virtuous than Abu Bakr." This necessarily sets the claim that Abu Bakr is superior over all saints or not prophets. If Abu Bakr is superior, then if that's established, then the superiority of prophets over them, superior prophets over the awliya, are even more dubious. As for the prickly issue of the miracle of the saints, we believe in the saints. We believe that they have miracles, the ones that have been transmitted to us authentically, because if you look in the Quran, you have the throne of Bilqis, and the saying of that saint, whose name was Asaf ibn Bakr Barakhia, who was one of the companions of Sulaiman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, alayhi salatu salam, and that person himself was not a prophet, but he's been mentioned in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 27, verse number 40, "One with whom was knowledge of the book said, 'I will bring it to you within the twinkling of an eye.' Then when Sulaiman saw it placed before him, he said, 'This is the bounty of my Lord.'" There's another example, which is the story of Maryam and a miracle that appeared through her. So she was a female, but she had miracles that were granted to her. For example, fruits or provision that came from to her that were normally out of season. So winter provision in summer, summer provision in winter. The palm tree, the famous story of the palm tree in the desert, with ripe dates falling from it. These are amongst the great miracles of Maryam alayhi salatu salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this in the Quran chapter 3 verse 37. When Zakariya went to the sanctuary where she was, he found her supplied with provisions, and he shook the trunk of the palm tree toward his and shake. Allah says in the Quran in chapter 19, verse 25. I'll start again. Shake the trunk of the palm tree towards yourself. You will cause ripe dates to fall upon you. Indeed, there are many traditions and reports of the miracles of the righteous. So you'll find this everywhere. Okay. Every miracle that appears at the hand of a saint is in reality a prophet's miracle, because Allah only honored that saint with those miracles by him blessing, by him emulating that prophet. So in other words, that saint who performs that miracle is able to perform that miracle because of his love and his fidelity to the Anbiya who were given those miracles. So in reality, those miracles, if you like, are the miracles of those prophets. And whatever miracle appears at the hand of a wali is a proof of the prophet's veracity. Hence, a miracle can never really contest a prophetic miracle, but supports and attests to it. So it's not if a wali performs a miracle, that's not to be interpreted in any way, shape, or form in contradistinction or in competition to the miracle of a prophet. It's under the miracle of a prophet. Okay. There's a group, we've talked about them time and time again, the Mu'tazila, who claim that there's no distinction between the saint and a prophet if we were to accept the possibility of a prophetic type miracle appearing at the hand of a saint. We respond to them and say, well, a prophetic miracle accompanies the claim to prophethood. So if a saint were to claim prophethood, he would immediately become a disbeliever. In other words, we say that anyone who performs a miracle and claims that that miracle is somehow proof of him being a prophet, that immediately takes him out of the fold of Islam. Right? He would become a disbeliever. He's no longer a saint. But if that miracle is a proof of the prophet, because the prophet is the asal of the miracle, then that's not an issue for us. It's also possible, my friends, that you have a saint who exists, but he's unaware of his sainthood. Whereas with a prophet, he needs to announce that he's a prophet. That's the second point. We have people amongst us who are awliya Allah, highest servants of Allah, and we know of their sainthood. We might not even know, and there's no obligation for them to go around telling people. As for being a prophet, it needs to be announced. Okay. So the saint is allowed or permitted to reveal a miracle as a way of encouraging people to seek guidance from him. But it shouldn't be done out of pride or conceit to misguide people. This is difficult, I understand, in our age, because we live in what Charles Taylor refers to as a disenchanted world. So miracles for us are hard to accept or to believe in. But there's been lots of literature that explain what miracles are and why miracles are possible. They're not impossible. They are indeed possible if Allah so wishes. We'll stop there. We've almost come to the end. Alhamdulillah. So we'll continue from the topic here, which is to do with things of the afterlife, but also in particular of the end of time. Ashratu Sa'ah. So we'll do that from there, inshallah, ta'ala 125. And we'll continue from there, inshallah. As always, you can always put comments in. You can ask questions. I'm happy to answer them. Until next time. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.